all these ceremonies, large amounts of money are spent for various activities. But here it is suggested that if along with this there is recitation of the wonderful activities of Vamanadeva, certainly the ceremony will be carried out successfully and will be freed of all discrepancies. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 8th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvishesha Shunivari Pashtari Satani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirita Garadar Shivasadi Gavakam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I start here, I'd like to tell a little Sankirtan story, briefly. Occasionally I would distribute books, and in Jacksonville especially. So I saw this Indian gentleman. He was drinking something. I don't remember if it was tea or a drink, but I thought it was a drink. So I went up to him and I gave him this reservoir of pleasure. And I said, by the time you finish your drink, you can finish this book. See? So he accepted it. He took it. And then I guess whilst he was drinking, he was reading also. And then later on he came up to me and said that his father was a life member, and he knew a little bit about ISKCON and like that. And so then I preached to him, and then regularly he would come and I'd preach to him. So then a few times he came to the temple. Once the previous Gaur Purnima festival, he came, and then he decided to take all some pictures for his family, his wife and relatives and thing, back in India. So he for the festival I worked late, and then I came back, and you know, I attend part of the program, and so I went out there. And And he said, well, let us take out a picture. I said, all right. So I stood there, and he stood at the side of me, and he gave somebody in the crowd to take out a picture. So the next weekend when I went to Jacksonville, he said, there's a light on your head. I said, what are you talking about? I haven't seen any light. He said, yes. I said, no. So then he said, I'll send in the picture. So he took out a picture and sent it to me. And when I look at this picture, it was amazing, because it was a little dark. And, you know, when I look at it, it was definitely look a little strange. But I think I know what it is, really. But I'll let you see it, really. So I'll pass it around. So whilst I'm giving the class, you could take a look at it. I guess you can keep your opinion to yourself. Okay. So that was interesting. And, you know, he still comes, and we'll discuss philosophy. And so I think we have a nice devotee coming up. His name is Raju. When you see him, then you'll probably recognize him in festivals. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end of the episode, they're usually... there's usually a benediction. And here the benediction is that if one hears the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system, or even brought back home, back to Godhead. So by just hearing these pastimes of the Lord, one can be elevated to the higher planetary system or to the spiritual world. This is the benediction, and you can take your choice there if you want to go up to Brahmalok or Swargalok or wherever. And so I'll discuss a little bit of the pastimes back. There are many different types of avatars, but we'll just do the Dasa avatars, the 10 incarnations, and how the Lord manifested in his different forms. So we know the first one was Matsya, the fish incarnation. And at the end of Brahma's day, Brahma day is 1,000 ages. Right? 1,000 ages. And we know 1 age is 4,320,000 years times 1,000. So that would give you like 4,320,000,000 years. That's 1 day of Brahma. So he was a little tired there and he yawned. You know, he relaxed back and he yawned. In the next chapter you'd read about that. And so the Vedas slipped out of his mouth. But we have to understand that knowledge, I mean, right now we have it in writing, like, you know, it's put into writing, but in earlier days, it's through sound reception, shabda. You just hear and you understand, and it's transmitted like that. So we can say the sound vibration slipped out of Brahma's mouth. You know, sometimes, you know, in a metaphysical terms, you may say thought waves, you know. But it slipped out, and this demon, Hayagriva, he grabbed it, and he swallowed it, and he hid himself in the ocean. So the Lord as Matsya vanquished the demon and retrieved back the Vedas and gave it to Lord Brahma, see? And then it cited, there was another instance where, this was in a different Manvantara, where the world was about to be flooded, and the Lord, well, just before that, the Lord appeared to Satyavrata Muni as a puny fish. And he, and then he grew, within a short time, he grew to a gigantic proportion, see? And Satyavrata Muni realized that this has to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because no one can do this within such a short time to grow into such a gigantic form, see? So he realized it was the Lord, and then the Lord told him within 7 days, the planets will be covered in water, and so I'll guide you, take Vasuki as the rope and tie to my horn, and I'll guide you until the flood is over, like that. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard about this, he was amazed, and he asked the question to Sukadev Goswami, how is it that the Supreme All-Powerful Lord, how is it that he would take such a ghastly form, such a lowly form, like the fish is considered to be one of the lowest of the species, why would he do this? See, because Sukadev Maharaj Parikshit was a little bewildered. And we know in Bhagavad Gita the Lord explains why he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamya. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious principles, I advent myself. And then parichanaya sadunam vinashaya sadushkitam dharmasamstat anartha sambhavame yuga yuga. In order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, and as to reestablish religious principles, I advent myself millennium after millennium. These are the two basic words. But within the Srimad Bhagavatam 8:24-5, the Lord said, Go vipra sura sarunam chandasam api chesvara raksham richam tanur dhate dharmas artasya chaivahi. This is a little more explicit. For the sake of protecting the cows, the brahmanas, demigods, devotees, Vedic literature, religious principles, and principles to fulfill the purpose of life, the Lord accepts different incarnation. And then the other verse, 6, he says, Ucha vasheshu bhuteshu charan vayur iveshvara nocha vachatvam bhajate nirgunatvad diyo gunhai. Like air passing through different types of atmosphere, the Supreme Lord, although appearing sometimes as a human being and sometimes as a lower animal, is always transcendental. Because he is above the material modes of nature, he is unaffected by higher and lower forms. So this verse actually nail it on the head there, because it explains that even though the Lord may take lower forms, all his forms are transcendental. It's not affected by any material contamination. See? So that appease, that satisfied Maharaj Parikshit. So the next incarnation was Kurma, the turtle. When the demigods were trying to churn the milk ocean with Mandara Mountain, they had Vasuki around the mountain, but the mountain was very heavy because it was made of gold and other precious minerals. And so it was pretty heavy, and it slipped out of Vasuki. And so then the Lord took the form as Kurma. You see? So if one were to argue, well, you know, you're worshipping turtle or something like that, Kurma is not an ordinary turtle. It was huge. I mean, Mandara Mountain was a very huge and gigantic mountain. And it was very heavy. So when the Lord took that form and suspended the mountain, they were able to churn the ocean and get the nectar of immortality. See? So that was the second avatar. And the third one was Varaha. Varaha stated that the Lord, the earth had slipped into the Garbhodakashayi ocean, and then the Lord took the form as a tiny boar, and then it grew to gigantic proportion, and then it dove into the water, raised the earth. I mean, if you know the earth, this is not like a tiny bar or something, it's huge. So for Varaha to do that, he had to be of supreme power. No ordinary being, or not even the demigods, may be able to imitate those acts. See? This is what makes these activities uncommon, because they are extreme, very extreme. And then after he set the earth back in its orbit, there was this demon, Hiranyaksha. He was looking to fight someone. He challenged all the demigods, and they were afraid of him. In fact, the last one he met was Varuna. And Varuna was scared. He said, I'm too old, really, but you'll meet your match. And then the Lord as Varaha, challenged Hiranyaksha, and we know the story how he vanquished him easily. See? And of course, in these pastimes, the Lord always brings about a suspense. It's like at the last moment when everything is looks very precarious, you know, and seems uncertain what's going to happen. Then the Lord comes with a stunning blow. So then after Varaha was in Nrsingadev, even Yakshipu, he wants to take revenge for his brother's death. And he says, I'm going to vanquish Vishnu. But then his son Prahlad, he was opposing him in every way. And so he said, it's your Lord and this pillar. And he slapped it with a sword. And then the Lord appeared as Nrsingadev, the half man, half lion. And fought with Hiranyakashipu. Fought with him and vanquished him easily. Tore his entrail like that. Then the other incarnation was Vamanadev that we just discussed. Vamanadev. He came as a little dwarf. See? And then within a short time, he grew into this gigantic form where he covered the whole material universe. See? Pierced the covering of the universe, and that was so amazing and astonishing. Bali Maharaj could not imagine that. See? Then the next incarnation was Parshuram. That's it, right? Parshuram. Yeah, where he. The Kshatriyas were becoming very unruly. They were taking advantage of all the people, and they were misruling. And so the Lord came as Parshuram, and he defeated them 21 times. 21 times he defeated the Kshatriya race. What usually happened then is that the Kshatriya women, sometimes they usually would propagate progeny by cohabit with the sages, like some of the sages, and that was at that time recommended in Vedic times, and then more Kshatriyas would come about. See, Parshuram vanquished them 21 times. And then eventually they came back again. Then the other incarnation was Lord Ramachandra. Lord Ramachandra. And this demon, Ravana, he had a boon from Brahma that he would not be killed by the demigods, the devas, charnas, gandharvas, no one. He did not ask for boon for humans or insects, or humans or monkeys or anything, because he felt that he was good enough for them. See? And then the Lord took the form as like a human, Ramachandra. See? So we know the story when his sister told him that there is a man there. There is that man, Ram. He said, what man? What man are you talking about? See? And we know the story again that Lord Ramachandra defeated him and installed Vibhishan as the king of Lanka. Then the other incarnation is, you may think it's Lord Krishna, but here it's a Balaram. And the reason it's stated that way is because Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He's not considered considered an incarnation. I was looking at a song by Jayadev Goswami, where he was singing, and I was looking at that verse and I didn't see he mentioned Lord Krishna, but some of the other commentators said, because Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, he's not considered within the Das Avatar. But Balaram is considered here. And Balaram is, you know, his side with Lord Krishna in so many ways and help him to enact his pastime. And he defeated so many demons that it was astonishing. See? It was astonishing. And so Lord Krishna, he's not considered a Das Avatar, but he's the Supreme Lord. But we know of all his glorious activities, most glorious. There is no one in the three worlds that can imitate the acts of Lord Krishna, nor the demigods or the demons or the human beings or anyone. No one could imitate the activities of Lord Krishna. But since I'm dealing with the Das Avatar, I'm not going to go on his activities. But I'll briefly go on to the other incarnation, and that was Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha, he came a time when killing was very, very prevalent. Killing was prevalent, and so he established ahimsa, or nonviolence. And this is how most of the Buddhists they became like vegetarians. See, and a lot of people still follow the philosophy of the Buddhists, but this was his compassionate nature towards the animals. See, but also there is a nice story there, because Lord Buddha also taught the middle path. You don't go to this extreme or to the other, too much in excess or too much in poverty, but you stay in the middle track. And there's a nice story, either by him or by his followers. And I tell you, he said once there were four brahmanas. They were poverty stricken, very poor. And they went to one rishi or one muni, and the rishi gave them four grail, a magic grail. There's another word for it, but anyhow, like a piece of cloth, something like that. And he said, move to the north, travel to the north to the Himalayas. And when you go there, the grail would fall and you would acquire some wealth. So as they were going, the first brahmana's grail fell and he found the copper. And he asked his friends, we can share this, there's a lot of copper here. But they did not, they said, we'll continue. Then the second one fell and he found the silver. And he offered it to his friends. He said, let us take the silver. But they would not relent, and they continued. And the third one, he found gold. And he offered to his friend, let us take this gold. But he said, don't you understand? We got copper, silver, gold. There's something more ahead there, something really good. See? And so he did not listen to his other friends, and he continued. And then it stated that his feet were blistered and he was thirsty and hungry. And he finally met a man that was standing with a wheel spinning on his head. And he said, where can I get some water? And then, why is this wheel spinning on your head? And as soon as he said that, why is this wheel spinning in your head, the wheel left that man's head and jumped on his head. And it starts spinning. He said, this thing is very painful here. Tell me, what is the meaning of this? He said, Kuvera, fearing that men like you would come to steal my riches, plunder my riches, has set up this trap for anyone that would dare to do such a thing. And And so this is what happened to me. He said, well, how long do I have to stay here? No, he said, for us, how do you get food and water? He said, well, Kuvira gave the boon that who would take, that when the wheel goes on your head, you would not feel thirsty or hungry, but you just have to feel the burden of having the wheel spin in your head. And he said, how long have you been? He said, for many, many thousands of years, millenniums after millennium. And he says, well, when would this burden come off my head? He said, when another man like you comes here, and that is indefinite. And so the story goes that the Buddha taught that greed is very, very dangerous. And if one is not careful, he could fall in a trap like this. You know, we see the materialists really, how people are going after so many things unnecessarily. See? So this was the story of the Buddha to explain the dangers of greed. See? And then the next incarnation is Kalki. Kalki will come at the end of the world, and he would vanquish most of the people, because most of them would be demonic, and prepare the age for the for Sakya. See? He would prepare the people for the upcoming Sakya. But this is 427,000 years more to come. So it's a long time more. So that was the fourth verse. And so by hearing these pastimes in synopsis, at least you get a benediction. See, I don't know if it's enough to take you to the spiritual world back, but it will definitely free you from a lot of from an artist and so forth. And so the other verse is, whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in course of ritualistic ceremonies, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pritrilok, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. So, within the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, these ritualistic ceremonies are prescribed here. Worshipping the Lord, of course, we know that's not ritualistic, but worshipping the demigods. And Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, one worship the demigod for temporary benefits. See? But these benefits are taken away at death. But it is prevalent. It's prevalent in many countries, like in, I know in Guyana, for one, there's a lot of demigod worship in the Caribbean, and of course, like India, and wherever Vedic civilization is, these types of worship are still there, because it's residue from the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. And we know, like, there's worship of, like, Surya, Chandra, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. Well, we know, like, the demons, Ravana, he worship Lord Brahma. See? He worship, and then he got those boons. And then some would worship, like Surya, Chandra, for different things, getting this benedictions and so forth. But it's stated that if this story is recited during those sacrifices and ceremonies, then one would be benedicted. Then the other one is the Pitri, the Shraddha ceremony. And the Shraddha ceremony, it was a very important ceremony, especially for people that follow rituals. The Pitris are like the forefathers, and sometimes they go to different planetary systems, But especially like if they're in hellish life, I know the Garuda Puran explains this, that is, if they're in hellish condition, and by the sun performing the Shraddha ceremony, he frees him from some of the suffering he's going through. See? And there's many stories of this really. But I know there's one story where Pandu was in Yamalok, and he asked Nara to send a message to Yudhishthira to do the Ashwamedha sacrifice. It was the Ashwamedha, one of these sacrifices, so that he can go to Indralok like that. But you know, for devotees, we don't have to concern so much of. And then there's one thing is important. It's stated that there's many types of pitris. The pitris are originally coming from the Shapta Rishis. It's stated that Lord Brahma had created the Shapta Rishis and instructed them to worship him, but they worship themselves instead. Then later on, when they died, their children did the strata for them. And then there's so many different pitris. Like you have the Barhishads, that's who is the demons worship, and that's coming from Atrimuni. Then you have the Havish Bhagas, you have the Somapas, which the Brahmanas worship, and that was coming from Brigumuni. Then you have the Harish Bhagas, the Kshatriyas offer oblations to, and that was coming from Angira. The Ajyapas, the Vaishyas, and that was coming from Pulasya. Sukhalins from the Sudra clan, and that was coming from Vashishta. And Somasad, that's from the Sadhyas, and that was coming from Virag. I know when we were doing the when we are reading the Bhagavatam, really, it was saying that sometimes this one would become like the demigods or Indra. This one would take the, you know, at the end of this Manu or that Manu, this personality. And I could remember it was saying like the Somapas would become like the Shapta Rishis or something like that. See? I don't know if you can remember, but that was a few months back. So the pitris, there's a whole art in that really, but we don't have to worry ourselves with that. But it's stated here that if the story of Vamanadeva is recited at that time, it's auspicious. And then the last thing it's stated here, the marriage ceremonies, and there are different types of marriages. Anyone knows the different type of marriages they have? It's stated that there is the Brahma, Daivya, Arsha, Prajapatya, Asura, Gandharva, Rakshasas, and Pishakas. All these are different types. I'll briefly tell you. Like the Brahma is being officiated by a priest, and the father hands over the girl to a lone Brahmana. That's the Brahma. And then the Daiva is something like that with the Kshatriyas. And then you have the Arsha, where the father gives the girl over and he gets some cows and so. And then you have the Prajapatya, where he says, may you perform your duties nicely, like that. And then, of course, the Asura. The Asura gives a lot of wealth to get the girl. And then the Gandharva. That's voluntary acceptance. The boy and the girl accept one another. Anyone knows of any case? We know Arjuna and Subhadra. That was like a Gandharva type of marriage. And then you got the Rakshasas, where he takes the girl by force. And then the Pishakas, where he actually, when the girl is intoxicated or something like that, he takes her away. So these are the different types of marriages. And it's stated that during the rites, the first four, they usually perform rites. And if the story of Amarnath is recited there again, that's very auspicious. So the benediction, by hearing the story of Lord Vamanadeva, we can go back to the spiritual world. And the reason for it is that the Lord's activities are all transcendental and purifying. I'll stop here if there's any question or comment. Take it. Okay, so there are none. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.